Welcome to the My Shamanic Life podcast, your exploration of spiritual ecology and the shamanic and spiritual practices that promote well-being for all beings. I'm your host, Debbie Philp, and I'm here to share insights and practices to get ready, get rooted, and get real about your health and the state of life on planet Earth. We'll explore the wisdom of deep ecology, look at some sad truths about the disappearing more than human world, feel into earth-based practices and teachings, and take action to help restore the wonder and magic of biodiversity to our world. I invite you to discover your passion and power, to unlock your inner wisdom, and to connect with our earth family as you map your own path to service. I am a white woman recording on the Adirondack hunting territory of the Mohawk Nation of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, ceded in 1797 without council approval. I acknowledge that my presence here is the ongoing legacy of settler colonialism, which includes the exclusion and erasure of many Indigenous peoples. I also acknowledge that this land I am on was once shared with species that have been eradicated by those settlers, including the Eastern Cougar, the Canadian Lynx, the Eastern Elk, the Passenger Pigeon, and the Gray Wolf. Settle in now, and wherever you are listening, notice how the earth is holding you. Become aware of what touches the ground, the floor, your chair, or whatever is supporting you. Sink a little deeper into that support and feel your energetic roots sink down into the earth. Feel how you are held, anchored in, nourished and nurtured. You are here. The time is now. Are you interested in deepening into moon magic and shamanic journeying? Each new and full moon, I offer a free 30-minute call open to everyone. You'll find the call-in number and details about upcoming turtle journeys on the calendar page on my website, in an event in the Shamanic Flow Circle group on Facebook, and in my email newsletter. We'll be gathering next on November 28th, 2023, for the full moon in Gemini. Links for the email list and the Facebook group are in the show notes, and I'd love to connect with you. The wheel of the year has turned past a cross-quarter day, Samhain, and in the Northern Hemisphere, we have entered the dark half of the year. Acknowledging and celebrating the eight spokes of the wheel of the neo-pagan year gives you the opportunity to tune into and honor the Earth's solar cycle, the natural world around you, and your inner cycles of change and growth. Whenever I need to get a handle on a sabbat, which is the Wiccan word for one of those eight spokes, I pull out the Element Encyclopedia of Witchcraft by Judica Illis, which is a thick, juicy, well-researched source for all things pagan and witchcraft. In that book, it says that Samhain translates prosaically as summer's end. It marks the end of the light half of the Celtic year and the beginning of the dark half. The border between years is distinguished by the lack of border between worlds. In the Northern Hemisphere, Samhain, which can be pronounced as I did, or Samhain, depending on whether you're coming from the Scottish or Irish Gaelic, is usually celebrated on October 31st and therefore corresponds to Halloween, although some traditions put Samhain on November 7th.
Well, the early church probably chose dates to align with similar festivals already in place. Halloween and Samhain have different origins. Today, although Halloween is mostly secular, both Samhain and Halloween are influenced by older traditions, mostly from Ireland and Great Britain. Samhain rituals usually include honoring of the ancestors and a remembering of the recently departed. My own practice includes writing a note to a loved one who has died and burning it so that the smoke will carry the message into the spirit world. If you've attended my virtual Samhain ceremony, you have done that ritual with me. It's very powerful. Samhain is the last of the harvest festivals, when the grazing season ended and all the remaining crops were brought in. There is Irish lore that crops left in the fields after Samhain belonged to the fairies and therefore were unsafe for humans. On Samhain, along with a few other times during the year, the wild hunt rides. You may have heard of the wild hunt from the Witcher video games, or the great pagan news website which has that name. But in Northern European mythology, the wild hunt is a procession of spirits, which may be led by or include gods, witches, demons, or animals, depending on the version of the myth and how Christianized it had become. The hunt rides across the sky and, also depending on your take on it, is amazing to witness or something you should run in terror from. In Norse traditions, the wild hunt is led by Odin. In Wales, Gwyn ap Nith leads the way. Hearn the Hunter is said to haunt the Windsor Great Park in England and is a manifestation of the horned god. The purpose of the wild hunt is as varied as the myths. Some say the hunt is after human souls. And now that you know a little bit about the background of Samhain, I'd like to share my take on it. It's believed that the Celts only acknowledged two seasons, summer and winter. Samhain was the first day of winter. Where I live, it's not unusual for the weather to turn cold right around Halloween. This year, we had an unusually warm fall, but the temperature dropped and we saw snow flurries on the 1st of November. It looks like death visited here. The trees are bare. Dry, brown leaves litter the ground and blow around in gusts of cold wind. The sky is often gray now. This time of year brings a smell of wood smoke to my walks. The plants I didn't clean out of my vegetable garden or the scattered containers have withered or gone mushy. The landscape reflects the end of everything. Samhain is the end and the beginning of the year. I find it interesting that the year begins with a time of introspection rather than jumping into doing. Within a month or so, the death and decay will be covered with the bright white of snow, which always seems to get everyone out doing things again. For now, though, we have time to sit with grief and loss. I believe that is needed in a world that, especially in Western society, is lacking grief rituals and finds little value in surrendering to melancholy. I say, surrender. During a grad school class discussion earlier today, we were asked to share one piece of wisdom we received from a non-human animal. I, being who I am, immediately started to think about turtles. There's the usual slow and steady stuff. But being in the context of Samhain season, when all the turtles around here are settling into bermate, I began to think of the message of surrender. The first dictionary definition of surrender that came up when I Googled is about giving up. You can't keep fighting this enemy, so hand over your authority and power to them. Whoever has to surrender is weak, not dedicated enough, not passionate enough to keep fighting, win or lose. Heroes fight to the death, right? That word, surrender, got a bad rap. But there's another way to look at surrender, and it's what I learned from the turtles. It's giving oneself over to abandoning resistance. We spoke about it in yoga all the time. Stop fighting yourself. Stop fighting gravity, your thoughts. Surrender was part of learning to be present. So how do turtles surrender? Every fall, here in the northern latitudes where the lakes and ponds freeze, turtles swim down to the bottom, partially bury themselves in the mud, and surrender to death. I mean, they don't die. They just slow their metabolic functions down so much that they are as close to dead as they can be without actually being dead. They don't sleep like hibernating mammals. They simply stop for a while and surrender to the cold and dark. Humans are horrible at surrendering. Whether it's because of that hero mythos or competitive sports or the constant drive to be productive, humans won't say, "Hey, it's dark and cold outside. I should stop doing things." Think of how inventive we've been to avoid it. I mean, we figured out electricity, and the first thing, or one of the first things we invented, was lights. Now, I live far enough north that the loss of daylight hours between Samhain and the winter solstice are really noticeable. If you're out walking in the woods, you have to be home by 4 o'clock. But we aren't walking in the woods. At least we aren't walking in the woods enough. We are trying to work, shop for holiday gifts, go to school, get food, make money. Could you imagine the reaction if we just decided it was too cold and dark to function at our best? So we're just going to be inert for a while. Now, I could go off on capitalism and how the demand for production and growth at all costs has killed our thoughtfulness, creativity, and peacemaking skills. But I won't. Okay, just a little. Because for many of us, capitalism has killed our thoughtfulness, creativity, and peacemaking skills. What if, instead of rushing into whatever the next thing was, you took a week, a month, or half a year to just think about it, to let it mull around in your mind? Sure, you could nap, but like the turtle, you aren't spending the whole time sleeping. You're thinking. You're contemplating. You're reflecting. Could you imagine surrendering to that? I know, you can't pay the bills if you sit around thinking for months. Turtles are lucky. They don't have to buy their food in a grocery store. It's the system. What if, instead of being focused on making money, you could just make art, or music, or write poems? Not to make a living, just to be creative. I'm old enough to remember the promise that came with all this technology they were coming up with. Technology was going to make us productive. So we were going to have all this leisure time to do what we enjoyed. Instead, the technology is making more work for us. and it's enabling us to work even when it's dark and cold and our desire is to stop. When we pay attention to what's happening in nature during Samhain season, we see how to surrender, how to give ourselves over to the desire to slow down so much it seems as though we've stopped completely. Which brings me back to the turtles. I just recently learned where most frogs spend the winter. Ready? Under the turtles. Yes, you heard me. Under the turtles. They dig themselves down into the mud under the turtles. So they're covered by not just the turtle, but the turtle's protective shells. And they burmate too. Now imagine a peacemaking process that didn't mean one party had to give up to the other. What if they both surrendered and just got still and became very present to each other? No conquest, no victor. Would peace be any less fragile and temporary that way? I don't know the answers, of course. I'm just feeling into Samhain season surrender, tuning into the rhythm of the land and the more than human beings around me, and seeing what comes up. Now, before I sign off, I'd like you to join me in a few surrender breaths. Surrender breaths are really easy, and they're about giving over, about surrendering body, mind, spirit, even for a brief moment. As you take your next breath in, draw it in through your nose and bring it down as deep into your body as you can. Fill your lungs. Pause. Now open your mouth and with a big sigh, let it go slowly. Yeah, you can make sound, big moans. Take another breath in. And surrender with the breath. One more time, big breath in. And sigh it out. And as you resume your natural breath, just notice how you feel. And I invite you to bring those breaths into your practice, even the practice of moving through your day. Noticing where you have a deep desire to surrender and allowing it even for a moment.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of My Shamanic Life. Check the show notes for the links I mentioned this week. And remember to like and subscribe to get weekly episodes in your feed with more practices, teachings, and actions so you can get ready, get rooted, and get real about life on this planet. May you find wonder and magic in the beings around you this week and practice walking gently on our earth each and every day.